Good evening. Welcome to The Buck Stops Here. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, how security forces eliminated a major terror strike on a BSF battalion headquarters in Srinagar. I'll be joined by the Inspector General of the CRPF, one of Kashmir's top cops, as he shares astounding details on how one of the terrorists wearing a CRPF uniform pretended to be a Jawan before being eliminated in the nick of time. Well, it was a terror attack at the heart of one of the most protected parts of the country. At 4:10 a.m., three terrorists stormed a battalion headquarters of the BSF at Hamhama in a heavily defended zone right next to the airport. They opened fire with grenade launchers and automatic weapons. Three BSF Jawans were injured in the first volley of bullets, but alert BSF Jawans took out one of the terrorists immediately, but not before two others took shelter in nearby buildings and opened fire. Meanwhile, a quick action team of the CRPF arrived, led by Ravideep Singh Sahi, the Inspector General of the force, who led the counter-terrorism operations from the front. Inspector General Sahi joins us now from Srinagar. Thanks very much for being with us, sir. Congratulations on the successful conclusion of this operation. 4:10 is when the attack started. When were you deployed in that area? When you reached there, what did you see?
Actually, the attack started at around 4:15, and it was, I must say, the credit goes to the BSF for initial response, wherein they could kill the first terrorist. After that, two terrorists, one took shelter in a SO's accommodation, and another went to the administrative block. And again, I must say that the credit goes to the BSF officers, their DIGs and the QAT. They rushed to the spot, and they rescue about 2 to 3 BSF personnel from the administrative block. And thereafter, the standoff continued, the fire stopped. And at around 7 o'clock, around 6:45, between 6:45 to 7 o'clock, we all reached there with the QAT of the CRPF, SSP Badgam, SOG, and the BSF officers. And then we launched a full-scale operation to flush out the two remaining terrorists. One was hiding in an SO's accommodation, and another was hiding in an administrative block.
And sir, tell us about the first terrorist who was eliminated. How did they manage to actually breach this battalion headquarters? And at what stage was the first terrorist eliminated by alert BSF Jawans?
The first terrorist was eliminated at around 4:15, around that time, when they tried to enter the BSF campus by scaling the wall.
And so were they firing grenades? I believe they were firing through underbarrel rocket launchers and they'd opened fire as well. So is that what they were doing simultaneously?
Yeah, they were very well trained and they were very well equipped. They have AK-47s with them. They had hand grenades with them, and they were very well trained, motivated. And the way they were fighting and the way they were responding to the fire of the force, it indicated that they are quite well trained.
So that's an important point, and I'd like you to perhaps dwell on this. You know, 7-8 years back, the terrorists who were coming across were terrorists who were not as well trained. These terrorists seem to have received some sort of potentially military training, and they trained to fight till the end to cause as much damage as possible. So in the CRPF, in the BSF, other forces, is that something you now need to deal with, terrorists who are much better trained and better armed?
Exactly. We are quite aware of this developing trend. And these three militants who have been neutralized, they belong to Jaish-e-Mohammed group, which is considered to be quite well trained and motivated. A few weeks back, the attack on DPL Fulwama was also the handiwork of the same group. So we are quite conscious of their capabilities. And accordingly, we have trained our men, motivated our men, and we are quite ready for them.
So, Mr. Sahi, the first terrorist was eliminated by alert BSF personnel. The remaining two terrorists went in. And then one terrorist was eliminated by you and the police, the CRPF and the police in the mess. And then there was one man who was firing. And I believe one of your officers did L. Ibomcha, an assistant commandant, led from the front. Tell us about this part of the operation.
Yeah, actually, the entire operation was led by the officers from the front. And it was a very well-coordinated operation along with the BSF officers. I must compliment the BSF officers also. They were all along with us, and they were participating equally with equal ferocity and interest. And the first militant was neutralized in an SO's accommodation. It was again a joint operation of CRPF, JKP, and the BSF. And our officers, all the officers, assistant commandants, and other, they were with their men. They led the entire operation from the front. And yes, you are right. One assistant commandant, Mr. Ibomcha Singh, he also, the third militant who was neutralized at around 1:30, and he was instrumental in neutralizing that militant. But I must say, overall, it was a well-coordinated operation in which CRPF, BSF, and JKP SOG, they participated equally.
So I take the point and, completely about joint participation, and you repeatedly mentioned that, and I completely take that point. But I want to understand how exactly the forces were able to storm that room and eliminate this last terrorist, because he'd taken a vantage position. Can you describe this part of the encounter?
Yeah, actually the third militant, the third terrorist was neutralized not inside the administrative block. He had come outside.
Okay.
And he has come outside, and he was wearing a camouflage dress of the CRPF. And surprisingly, he was also aiming toward the building where the other force person was also aiming. Now, when our assistant commandant and along with his one sub-inspector and inspector was going to give the ammunition to one of their companion who was firing from one of the vintage positions, they saw that one man in a CRPF uniform is aiming towards the administrative building. And at that point of time, they thought that we haven't placed a man there. How come he's there? So they had some kind of a suspicion. In the meantime, this militant who was aiming towards the administrative building, he gave them a sign with his hand, come forward. But they got suspicious, and after seeing their pouch, which was of different make, they realized that he's not from CRPF, and as soon as he turned his AK-47, they fired on him and neutralized him then and there.
Sir, this is absolutely incredible detail. So these terrorists had dressed in CRPF uniforms when they stormed this building, and this one terrorist was actually firing in the same direction as you were, because it sort of infiltrated your ranks until you realized that this man was not from your squad and he was a terrorist.
Yeah, because there were a lot of firing going on at this block.
How close was he at that stage, sir, to you? How close was this terrorist in CRPF uniform to you when you realized he was a terrorist?
Yeah, this terrorist was about 20 to 30 yards away from the administrative building, aiming towards the building. And from our team, he was about 20 yards away. Our team was behind him, actually.
Sir, this particular facility of the BSF is obviously in a very sensitive area. The sentries responded, the other forces came in, but how bad could it potentially have gotten, because the Air Force base is adjacent to it, is that right? The airport is adjacent to it, is that right?
Yeah, airport is adjacent to it, yes, you're right.
And so therefore, sir, in terms of stepping up our defenses against these extremely well-trained terrorists, Is there anything that one can learn, or is there anything one can do differently, or was this really an ideal scenario where we were able to stop these people?
Vishnu, the thing is that our forces here in Kashmir are quite alert, and we were having this input for quite some time. Our men at the airport, Srinagar airport, which is being guarded by the CRPF, was alert. And even the BSF also, they were quite alert. As a result, they could not inflict the damage which otherwise they could have inflicted. It was because of the alert response. I am repeating it again, that it was because of the alert response of the BSF constable initially and their officers, and thereafter the combined operation, which could result in less damage.
One final question to you, sir. This is the time of the year, and we see terrorists trying to cross over from Pakistan. The line of control has been very active. The army has been facing a lot of encounters and the sort. Is there a real concern, like every year before the snows come in, that this is the time when the situation is vulnerable? They try and push in as many terrorists as possible, before the snows come in and the passes close. Is this a worry for you this year as well?
Yeah, exactly. This is a worry for us, because there has been an infiltration attempt this year. Particularly, the attempts have been more, but at the same time, a lot of militants have been neutralized at the LOC. We are conscious about it, and it is a cause of concern for us. But I can tell you that our officers and Jawan are well trained and motivated also to handle any kind of situation which develops.
Inspector General, congratulations on the successful conclusion of this operation. To you, your force, the BSF, the police. Were the army also involved, sir?
Yeah, army was there, but they were involved. They were involved in a cordon.
In a cordon operation. Thank you very much, sir, and congratulations once again. Well, one brave Jawan did lose his life, but fortunately, those three terrorists were eliminated before they could create any more damage. But let's bring you details of what exactly happened through the day in that encounter. This is our report.
Had the security forces in Srinagar been unable to eliminate three highly trained terrorists who broke into battalion headquarters of the BSF, we could have seen one of the worst terror attacks in Kashmir in recent times. The terrorists, members of Jaish-e-Mohammed, were right on the perimeter of Srinagar Air Force Base, very close to the airport, when they struck at 4 a.m. The airport was shut down as the encounter raged.
No firing going on at this block.
In an exclusive interview to NDTV, Ravideep Singh Sahi, the Inspector General of CRPF, who was one of the leaders in the counter-attack, said after eliminating the second terrorist inside the mess, CRPF Jawans chanced upon a suspicious-looking man. He was wearing a CRPF uniform and was firing in the same direction as CRPF forces. But he wasn't a CRPF Jawan at all. Fortunately, he was eliminated in the nick of time.
He has come outside, and he was wearing a camouflage dress of the CRPF, and surprisingly, he was also aiming toward the building where the other force person was also aiming. Now, when our assistant commandant and along with his one sub-inspector and inspector was going to give the ammunition to one of their companion who was firing from one of the vintage positions, they saw that one man in a CRPF uniform is aiming towards the administrative building, and at that point of time they thought that we haven't placed a man there. How come he's there?
In the last few weeks, there have been several encounters on the line of control. In Pulwama, CRPF neutralized three Jaish-e-Mohammed terrorists at the end of August.
Apparently it is the Jaish-e-Mohammed which is now leading most of these suicidal attacks.
It was a Pathankot type attack, and senior officers say that the Fidayin attackers managed to enter the BSF camp adjacent to the Air Force station after they scaled the wall and cut through the barbed wire. With the reemergence of Jaish-e-Mohammed, senior officials say that high-value security installations are the main target. In Srinagar, Nazir Masoodi for NDTV.
Well, we spoke just a little while back to the Inspector General of the CRPF, one of the officers leading right from the front. And a lot of the points he mentioned indicate that the nature of the threat in Jammu and Kashmir is now perhaps greater than it has ever been because of the capability of the terrorists coming in. Joining us now to look at this, Lieutenant General Raj Kadyan. the former deputy chief of the Indian Army. Thanks very much, sir, for being with us. General Kadian, you know, 10 years back, 15 years back, you know, there'd be just a handful of terrorists who'd come across. Some of them would have very poorly maintained guns. And their aim would be to shoot and scoot. Whereas now you have these extremely capable terrorists coming in. They scale walls. They use under-barrel grenade launchers. And they're willing to actually engage the armed forces for a long period of time. What sort of military or police challenge does this represent?
Vishnu, first of all, I must compliment your channel for bringing the operational report right from ground zero and literally from the horse's mouth, from the IG of the CRPF who was involved in the operation. I think this kind of descriptions are highly motivating for people who are watching. Now, you mentioned about the terrorists being well-trained now as, and they were not so. I don't think that is entirely correct, at least in the recent past. They were as highly indoctrinated and trained when they attacked Pathankot or Nagrota or Udi. All of them come prepared to die and determined to kill. So they have no hope of getting back. I mean, they come with that at least expectation. It may be a rare chance that they are allowed to get away or they can manage to get away. But I think the level of indoctrination, I won't call it motivation on their part, has been high at least in the recent past. Today's operation shows not only the courage and the boldness of the junior leaders of the Central Police Forces, but also great coordination between CRPF and the BSF, the two forces that were involved in that. Now, there are some other points that I'd like to mention since we are on the subject.
Yep.
Our surgical strike last year was an expression of intent. It was hoped that Pakistan would take the hint and any rational country would have taken the hint. But as events now show over the last 12 months, that has not happened. And Pakistan deserves further punishment from India, and that punishment can only be inflicted by the military methods. I am not a warmonger. In fact, a soldier who has seen war from close angles knows more than anybody else what are the negatives of war. But if to protect our national honor and integrity, military action is the only choice, then we should not flinch from it. The Army Chief hinted some time back that there may be a time when we have to do something again. We don't have to repeat what we did last year. That was a novelty. It may not be a novelty now. But there are other methods available.
General, let me ask you this.
General, let me just ask you,
you know, the point that I was referring to earlier on the nature of training these people have, and obviously the Pakistan Army at some level would be training them much more than they had perhaps in the past. Now, in the past, we've had suicide bombers. They still come in where their aim is to go in, explode these devices, and that's the end of it. Whereas these terrorists coming in now, even though they may be carrying suicide devices, one doesn't know, it's to engage the forces in a military style where they know they're going to be killed. But like we saw in the case of the Pathankot Air Base and over here and in other places, they want to engage militarily. They want to fire as much as possible. They want to lob as many grenades as possible. They want to stretch the encounter out. Doesn't this indicate a clear involvement of military trainers?
Absolutely. The kind of training they've had, the kind of weapons they carry, the kind of equipment they carry, carries a clear signature of Pakistan Army. I have never had a doubt. I always said so. Therefore, we must not give this problem an internal dimension by saying that it is people inside the valley who are creating the problem. This is a clear handiwork of Pakistan Army. And that is why I mentioned that we can take action against the terrorists. We can eliminate most of the terrorists from the valley, which we have done to a great degree, and we are continuing to do so. But if we want to eliminate terrorism, then we have to look at the source from where they originate.
Okay.
It is like the example I gave in your channel earlier in the evening, that if you are being stung by honey bees, then sweating bees is not the only answer. You have to go to the beehive and dismantle it and destroy
that,
it.
As you yourself, General Kadian said, that's often much easier to do than you know what. It's easier to say than to do. But I'm joined at this stage by Lieutenant General Syed Atta Hasnain, the former General Officer Commanding 15 Corps, somebody who knows the Kashmir Valley like the back of his hand. Good evening, General. One of the really positive things which I saw, which we all saw today, was the coordination of the forces. Now, this has not really been the case in the past. There have been questions raised, for example, by the army on the capability of the paramilitary forces. We've known that, different leaderships of different forces try to take credit for particular encounters. But in the recent past, and certainly today, we've seen the BSF, the CRPF, and the army and police work brilliantly together. And ultimately, when one fights terrorism, it has to be a collective effort. Would you say that this is one of the big takeaways of today's encounter, sir?
Vishnu, thank you for that question. That's an outstanding question. And let me tell you, what you're seeing today is the arrival symbolically of this kind of a cooperation. But I have been noticing that for the last 2 or 3 months, ever since Operation All Out commenced, this kind of a cooperation and coordination seems to be very evident. I've spoken to a number of officers on the ground there. I've even spoken to senior commanders, and I felt that this is actually happening. Now, mostly this actually flows down from the top. This is not something which happens bottom up. If the hierarchy on top manages to get together frequently, has an understanding, and has no egos about claims on the kills of terrorists, etc., you will find you will never have a problem. And today, this is the biggest takeaway, actually, but you're absolutely right. I could see on the television screen that the Arashtra Rifles was there, the CRPF was there, the BSF headquarters itself was under attack, the BSF was very active, and the Jammu and Kashmir police, obviously, is always there, wherever such actions are there. So you are absolutely right. This is an excellent thing which has happened. I only hope that this only goes from strength to strength.
General, we are running short on time. So General Hasnain, one last question to you. The fact of the matter is, sir, that these terrorists are still able to come in and attack and breach the most fortified installations in Kashmir, or some of the most fortified installations in the country. They come in CRPF uniforms as they did on this occasion. I mean, they've used military uniforms in the past. Isn't that a constant worry that, you know, they are still able to breach, they are still able to get into the facilities? And once they do, sir, that's when the loss of lives takes place. General Hasnain?
Absolutely, Vishnu, you are right. This has been happening since 1999 in particular, when the first of Fidayeen started, if I do remember correctly, on the 6th of August in the BSF headquarters at Bandipur. I've been witness to this right from there. The system which has been followed by the terrorists has almost been similar right through. The sale of the disruptive pattern uniform to the Jawans is an open thing which happens everywhere in the markets. Commercially, there are companies which are producing this.
Yep.
I don't know why we cannot have more stringent laws on this particular aspect, allow only the ordnance factories to perhaps manufacture them, and make it illegal, bring in a legislation to prevent anyone possessing these uniforms at all. If nothing else, at least some kind of a control will come on. But addressing the larger question of penetration of the very, very highly fortified areas like the one which has been penetrated today,
yep.
Let me tell you that this is a one-off thing. It happens from time to time. These are very well fortified, but not every inch of ground is not covered. You have a lot of tired men who are normally manning these places. This particular battalion, for example, is a ROP battalion, if I'm not mistaken. They are on road patrol duties right through from the morning 6 o'clock till night 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Right,
and in the morning, they're up again at 4 o'clock.
So it's clearly,
you know, it is the fatigue factor which sometimes plays into this.
And there
this.
Are so many factors involved. General, I'm just interrupting you now because I'm completely out of time. But General Hasnain and General Kadian, I'd like to thank both of you very much for joining us and sharing your perspectives on this. Fortunately, these three terrorists were eliminated. But let's not for a moment forget the loss of that life, that brave BSF soldier, Jawan, who lost his life. We're out of time. Thanks for being with us.